Well, it's good to be here. It has been a full day, I hope, for all of us. We have spent much time in God's Word. We've sung God's Word. We have prayed God's Word. We have heard a wonderful sermon this morning on God's Word. We have seen the effects of God's Word through three different baptisms this morning. And then we have also seen the effects of that on the congregation, which with much rejoicing through clapping. So one more time tonight, we're going to gather under God's Word. And if you want to get your Bibles ready, tonight we're going to be primarily in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Now, by way of reminder, we are halfway through our evening service series called Life Together, where we are expounding the various we wills of our church covenant. As other brothers have reminded you, our covenant is equal parts promise. It's a summary of expectations. It's an ethical statement. It's also a biblical standard. And together, our goal is to better understand each of the statements and see how these promises should practically impact us. So our covenant statement tonight is, we will encourage, admonish, and exhibit watchfulness over one another with wisdom and humility in the power of the Holy Spirit. And our scriptural reference to go with that is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11, which says, therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. Now, I'll admit, a few months ago when I accepted this task and I looked at the topic, I thought, I am not the person to get up there and talk about encouragement. To be truthful, I was feeling pretty low. I was feeling discouraged, in fact. And if I were to try to explain the general basis for that discouragement, I think it would boil down to two observations about this road of life that we live on. And first would be the result of thinking that my family and I were settled. We were home. But realizing that it just didn't seem like the kind of home that we had hoped for or set the expectations for. And this has, over time, led to disappointment, I suppose, and can breed some discontentment that's not healthy. Second would be, in essence, a road fatigue from realizing home, and I understand where ultimate home is, but yet I still live here, and there are those feelings, that home is still out there, and I'm just tired. I'm weary of being on the road. And as I've talked to many of you over the last year and the last couple months, I know I'm not alone in those thoughts. Perhaps that general description of my feelings resonates with you, but manifests itself differently. Some of you are more bruised from circumstances, relationships, being misunderstood, or just feeling alone. And as we know, others have been persevering amidst very heavy trials. Charles Spurgeon has a good description of all this. He says, the Christian's life is no child's play. All who have gone on pilgrimage to the celestial city have found a rough road, sloughs of despond and hills of difficulty, giants to fight and tempters to shun. Hence, there are two perils to which the Christians are exposed. The one is that under heavy pressure, they should start away from the path which they ought to pursue. The other is lest they should grow fearful of failure and so become faint-hearted in their holy course. So I feel like it goes without saying, from my experience, I believe your experience, that we need encouragement. And I pray as we reflect on this promise we've made to each other to encourage one another, that we would see that God has made us to be a community of encouragement, and we should not take it casually. So our main point tonight is that we, the church, should be the community of encouragement. And to do this, we're going to use 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 to do two things. First, we simply want to firmly ground why we encourage. And second, we want to reflect on how we encourage. So let's dive in deeper. Jumping back into 1 Thessalonians 5, if you're there, look again at our verse 11. It says, therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. So first things first, we have to realize that this entire statement is the implication of something that's already gone on before it. And so we have to ask as we read it, therefore, because of what? The answer is foundational to why we encourage. So if we were to zoom out, chapter 5 of 1 Thessalonians addresses the second of two questions that the Thessalonian church had about the return of Jesus. It addresses the worry that they might not be prepared for the event. And could Paul please let them know something about the details so they could be ready? I do feel it's important to read all of chapter 5 if we want to understand verse 11, but I'm going to do it quickly. So follow along, please. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. And as I read it, I'm going to pause between four sections, and I'll highlight those sections afterwards. Now, concerning the times and the seasons, brothers, you have no need to have anything written to you, for you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying, there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them, as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you are not in darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief. For you are all children of the light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness. So then, let us not sleep as others do. Let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. So the general pattern we see in this section is since, then, for, therefore. Since, who we are, then, this is what we're supposed to do. For, this is what God has done. Therefore, here are the practical implications. So Paul directly answers the Thessalonians' question as to how they should prepare for the return of Christ. He says, don't be preoccupied with the timing of Jesus' return. It is both inevitable and yet it's unpredictable. He tells them that they, and hence we, have everything needed to be prepared for that day. So since we are children of the light, no longer in darkness, we should prepare for that day based on that fact. We should prepare based on who we are, our identity. So in putting your faith and trust in the gospel of Jesus, you have been brought out of darkness and into the light. You are a child of the light. You have a new identity, and we could spend and should spend the rest of our lives rejoicing in that truth alone. But Paul doesn't stop there. Then, because of who you are, you should prepare for eternity with Jesus by pursuing godliness today. Paul says we are to keep awake, that is, be watchful. We are to be sober, that is, to be self-controlled. We're to guard our heart and be constantly putting on the breastplate of faith and love. And we're to keep our head by donning the helmet of the hope of salvation. And after this, Paul says, for we are to remember in humility that who we are is based on nothing we have done, but only on what God has done through the Lord Jesus for salvation. And this isn't just a salvation from the wrath of that our sin deserves, but it's also a salvation to a sure future and fellowship that we might live with him. So again, as if our identity and the tools for equipping weren't enough, we can build our lives on the solid rock truth that a future forever with Jesus is our future. But Paul doesn't stop there. Finally, having said all of that, we're back to our verse 11, where he says, therefore, encourage one another, build one another up, just as you're doing. I think this is awesome. Our call to encouragement comes out of our individual responsibility to grow in holiness. So you may ask, why is he up there stressing so much this individual walk of godliness, but we're here to talk about encouragement? Well, God has saved us all to himself as individuals. And in that way, we are living this life of recognizing that since I am, then I will, for he did. And we're doing that. Therefore, we're to do that together. There is no individual Christian. We are not to walk this path by ourselves, right? The therefore in verse 11 is what links us to the community of believers. So real encouragement then is not about making someone feel better about their situation or about themselves. We should comfort one another, certainly. But true encouragement helps others to know, obey, and enjoy God. So every day until he returns, we are to be a people who wake up, we slide into our armor, the breastplate of faith and love, and the helmet of the hope of salvation. And then we're to look around and build up any others that might need help in doing the same. And we have committed to each other as members of this local church that no one goes out on our watch without their armor on, whether it be polished and strong and shiny or dented and stained from the battles of life. Then we together step out, being watchful and sober, self-controlled and humble, encouraging one another every day as it is called today, that none of us may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin, for we have come to all share in Christ. So what does this look like? Well, let's think a little bit during our remaining time about how we encourage one another. First, I absolutely have to say good job. I'd say, like at the end of our verse tonight, keep doing what you're doing. In the time that we've been here, a little over a year, I describe the encouragement that you all provide one another as need met. So during the workday, I don't get to see my email, but by the time I get home and I see the requests, most everything is already done, and the only email I see is need met. Most of this is very practical help, but believe me, it is an encouragement to those on the receiving end. I also know and have heard how many of you have supported and are supporting now each other through the outpouring of your love in some very difficult personal trials. And thank you for that. To the elders, to the staff, to the deacons, to the volunteers, I could spend and we could spend hours commending you on the things you do to facilitate the flourishing of Christ's likeness in this local church. Thank you. With that said, though, the need for us to encourage one another will not diminish until we pass from this life to eternal life. We showed up about a year ago into what I think is growth of the church from pre-COVID days. So I understand the church has grown, and maybe you're thinking, there are so many new people, I don't even know where to start. I don't even know who needs encouragement. Well, I think we've established the answer to whether encouragement is needed. I'd ask you to look in front of you, look to your right, look to your left, look behind you. Everyone needs encouragement. Everyone needs to be built up in Christ. So just like our call to godliness, never changes, so the imperative to encourage never ceases. We need to be awake, we need to be sober, we need to don the armor, and we need to help each other do the same. I love this quote. It's been said that encouragement is what the gospel feels like as it moves from one believer to another. So what are some of the expressions of encouragement we can employ? This list is not in any way exhaustive. The point is to give some ideas of how we can come alongside one another to grow in faith and love. So first I want to talk about presence, not giving gifts, but our presence with one another. From a general perspective, let's be at the gatherings of this local church. If you could only make one event a week, try to make it a priority to be here on Sunday morning. After that, prioritize this prayer meeting or the members' meetings. There are obviously weekly Bible studies, individual and group discipling options. There's one-on-one meetings. The neglect to meet together can cause us to drift dangerously. I once got megaphoned by a lifeguard while boogie boarding, or at least hanging onto a boogie board, in the ocean off Southern California. He knew I was drifting too far out into what I didn't realize was a subtle rip current. Because I was farther out, he was watching and knew that the water was getting deeper, than that shortly I would be past the point where my feet could touch the ground. I was in danger. And all I heard was, "Hey, you in the yellow boogie board, put your feet down." The point of this story, after getting over my wife laughing at me, was that even if I didn't know it, the lifeguard was there exhibiting watchfulness. He was keeping me from drifting. And this is the part of what we do when we gather. And it is really hard to know how to stir one another on to love and good works if we don't know one another. On the more personal side of presence, consider times when you may join others in their lives. Work events, family events, sports, plays, recitals. Speaking as a parent, I need you, right? We try hard to parent faithfully, but I firmly believe the church can be a better, purer reflection of true family than even our biological families. And I know you're going to bring the gospel with you when you come. Also consider where you're called to more dedicated presence with someone. We have some friends where the wife just finished the last phase of hard cancer treatments. One of the things they mentioned was the importance of the presence of others as they walked through that trial. The wife commented that what struck her was how hard it must be for those enduring trials alone. She couldn't imagine going to appointments or trying to decipher what doctors are saying all by herself. I know she's going to be an incredible encouragement in the future to others. And the husband commented that what was most encouraging to him was just the simple truths of Scripture, right? It was God's word that filled him with peace so that he abounded in hope. Church, it's not as difficult as it seems. God supplies everything we need to encourage. Another one, commendation. If you recognize a job well done in the congregation, especially in ways that help others to know and obey the Lord, then commend it. We shouldn't withhold from good those to whom it's due when it's in our power to do it. Affirmation. If you recognize that someone is really on the right path, then give them affirmation. Give them confirmation that they're on that right track, they're using their armor well. That's a blessing to them. It relieves much anxiety. When we're anxious, our heart gets weighed down, but a good word makes us glad. And then there's appreciation, saying thank you. Write a note, send a text or an email. I know a dear brother who pretty much every time he comes over writes us a short note of thanks. I hope he knows the boost that it gives my wife and I to press on in faith through hospitality. Now, I'm going to pause here, and I'm going to ask that this doesn't reflect on my time. But as an example, I want to commend a brother in the church. He asked that I don't name him, but many of you received an email yesterday. And it's just a reflection on Ephesians 1:1. The brother had been meditating this past week on it, and he had a short reflection with some meaty stuff in it, and he ends it in grace, faithful brother. I mean, this gave my family and I an opportunity last night as we were driving to talk about it. What an encouragement this was. Well done. So finally, I'd be missing an opportunity to stress all this if I didn't talk about, some of you are very observant, I didn't talk about the other call in our covenant statement. I've ignored it. The call to admonish. The call to correct or caution. It's true that the healthy companion to encouragement is correction. This is loving each other well enough to spur each other on. There are days where maybe we've forgotten to put our armor on. Other days that we put it on crooked or backwards, or we left a strap undone. So correction may be in order, but Mark Dever gets two quotes on this Sunday, one from this morning and one from now. And I want you to get ready to perhaps feel a little sting like I felt. Mark says, "There are times to correct, but 80 to 90% of what you hope to correct can be accomplished through encouragement." I think we probably all should let that sink in a little bit for our marriages and our families and our parenting and our other interactions. And if, just as an example quick, if that ratio is true, that would mean in the couple of hours that I have after work at night with my wife and children, in the brief conversations you have with other members, in the interactions we have with the elders and the staff, that for every two corrective kind of statements we want to make, that the other eight should be encouragements. I know it's one in four would do the same thing, but two and eight has more magnitude. So church, we have covenanted together with each other to be the community of encouragement. This is a privilege. As you go out tonight, remember that one of the leading fruits of our individual pursuits of godliness is in encouraging one another. And the gospel is the ultimate word of encouragement. And for some of us, that may mean assessing first our own walk with the Lord. For others, it may mean repentance towards someone for the imbalance in our correction to encouragement ratio. For all of us, it means the call to engage one another more, to encourage. Lastly, as you study God's word, consider tacking on another reminder, another therefore verse in Scripture to the end of your daily devotions. And it's 1 Thessalonians 4:18. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. May we never tire of this good work. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the forgiveness, the restoration, and the future we have in Christ. We praise you that you don't just save a people, but you desire us to flourish. Lord, help us to be a people who are watchful, self-controlled, and ever-growing in faith, love, and hope, and cause this to overflow for our mutual building up, Lord. Give us eyes to see the discouraged. Give us eyes to see the idle among us, to equip and strengthen us, and to encourage. In Christ's name, amen.